Episode 182 von Win Today. Hockey. O'Clock. Matt Fraser. Stürmer. KAC. I'm always wondering if you're getting so close in Game 7 in the finals or in the Stanley Cup finals, it's as close as you can get to a championship.
Yeah.
How long did it take you personally to get over what happened in April this year?
That's a good question, Martin. You know what? The day has come and gone where I've stopped losing sleep over it, but it will forever be a pebble in my shoe. Again, it's no disrespect to Red Bull or anything. You know, we had a very good year and it didn't end up the way we wanted it to, but it doesn't take away from the year that we had as a club, as a team. It was cool to see guys have great years, career years, and see, you know, players become even better versions of themselves. And you know, it obviously didn't end as we would have liked, but I will probably say that will forever be a pebble in my shoe.
Win today.
In diesem Augenblick wird's jetzt richtig hitzig. Und die Scheibe kollert über die Linie.
Mittendrin statt nur der Ball.
Das ist unglaublich, was die vier zelebrieren.
Nice move, another nice move.
Oh, he scored! Oh, what a goal! It doesn't get any better than this.
This is a conversation I was looking forward to so much for so long, and it's finally happening. He is here on Win Today Hockey O'Clock. He's one of the import player mainstays of the Win Today Ice Hockey League. He's the scorer of the championship winning goal of Klagenfurt's last title. He's probably the best shooter in the entire league. We'll get to that and so many more things. I didn't think I would make you laugh just with my intro, but we'll digest so many things. It's Matt Fraser, and I'm so happy that you're jumping onto the show.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Martin.
Why did it make you laugh when I just said that you're probably the best shooter in the league? And we've got many great ones, but you, to me, stand out, and probably that's going to be the first topic that we tackle.
Well, it's just nice for you to be pumping my tires a little bit, that's all.
Because I was always wondering, and when we talk about the great shooters in the league, names like Brian Lebler come up, but mm-hmm. yours in close contention. And many years mm-hmm. ago, I talked to Brian Lebler, and I was just wondering how he got his shot. Mm-hmm. And he told me that from young age onwards, he was just hitting pucks into a brick wall in the driveway over yeah. and over again, probably yeah. thousands of times. How did that go with you?
Yeah, you know what? It's a very similar story. I mean, where I'm from, we actually have the most outdoor rinks per capita, I want to say in Canada and maybe even the world. But I spent a lot of time on the outdoor rink when I was a little kid and you know, practicing your shots. And it was always something that my dad always said to me, you know, and all coaches say, you got to work on your shot. And, you know, actually a funny story. My dad gave me it was like a wrist strengthener thing that you squeeze and it gave me all these squeeze balls and they were almost like dog toys now, but I still keep one in my vehicle, just in the side by the door. And when I'm on drives or, you know, just bored driving, I always squeeze it a few times but it's a good reminder of you know, kind of where I came from, how my dad helped me develop to become the hockey player I am now. And and I think as you get older, you realize that, you know, your strongest assets, whatever it is. And for me, it was always my shot. You have to keep developing that and keep making it better and working on it because it is your strongest asset. And if you're not, you know, everyone always says you have to work on your weaknesses, but you have to work on what got you there, what got you to be a professional and what's going to keep you to be a professional. And, you know, you look at around the league and you look at the Leblers and, you know, everyone has the same kind of story of, you know, you work on your strengths and what got you there. And you have to keep strengthening every facet of your game, but everyone always thinks that it's always the weaknesses, but you have to sharpen your what you're good at as well to keep everything at top form, at top level.
I didn't think that we'd get down to the nitty-gritty at the very top of this conversation, but I'd really love to dissect your shot a little more. And you've already filled us in on your, obviously, grip strength. And I'll stop pumping your tires after this one, but there are three things that are standing out for me when it comes to looking at the way you're shooting. It's the juice you're putting on the puck.
Yeah,
it's the accuracy. Mm-hmm. And you're probably one of the best deflectors in the league. We'll get to that one by one, but let's maybe start with the juice. Is it just pure grip strength, or where does it come from? What kind of muscles do you start training? Yeah. And I know for a fact, a lot of people are listening to this and they're of course wondering, how does Matt Fraser do it? I wanna be just like him. Where do you start?
Yeah, you know what? For me, it was always in the driveway, shooting pucks in the net and on the outdoor rink, shooting in the net there. But I can remember hanging up cans in the net and hit the cans and practicing, you know, different angles to shoot at. But that was always fun for me. And that it didn't feel like putting in work. But when you start that at a young age, I guess you develop those muscles and again, when you get more serious about it, then you realize, you know, there's little tricks and there's little devices that you can use to increase your grip strength. And, you know, ultimately now when I think about it, I still make sure once a week I'm doing grip strength stuff to keep my shot strong. But it's also when you have that puck on your stick, you want to shoot it as hard as you can. You don't want to... For me, it's like, I don't want this puck to touch the goalie before it goes in the net. I want to beat that goalie outright. I want to beat him clean where he doesn't even have a chance to know where that puck's going or have a chance to make that save. So it is something you develop with your body and your muscles, but there's also a part of you where your mentality is it's like a competition. I know what I've got in my bag and I think it's better than what the goalie's got. And I'm going to prove that. And it's kind of having a bit of a killer instinct with it and having a mentality that, you know, I'm going to make this goalie look stupid kind of. And that might be the wrong way to phrase it, but it's, you know, when you have that puck on your stick, there's not a better feeling than beating a goalie outright and just hearing it hit the net and knowing that there was no chance for him to save it. And that's, for me, is something that, you know, really gets my juices flowing.
I know for a fact a lot of league goalies are listening to this, so they're they're probably listening in very closely when we start doing the anatomy of a pure goal scorer and a great shooter. We tackle kind of the juice part, but the accuracy. You mentioned hanging up the cans and trying to hit them, but how do you work on your accuracy, especially when you know you might be turning pro, when you know that this might be your career?
Yeah, you know, you work on your shot, you work at hitting your target and shooting before practice and you know, shooting from different angles and stuff like that. But it's just putting in a lot of time with it. It's putting in the time, the effort, and you know what? You're going to miss the net a lot as you're kind of finding where you want to shoot it. But when you're comfortable, when you know where you're shooting and you're comfortable that the puck's going there, then it's just like everything's smooth. Everything's just a smooth motion and it becomes almost just like a natural feeling like skating. You get that puck on your stick and even without lifting your head up, you know where that net is, you know, where that puck's going. And actually when I first started playing professional hockey, I was in the Dallas Stars organization and I was working with one of the player development scouts before practice. And he was showing me a few things about shooting the puck. And Brendan Morrow was the captain of the Dallas Stars at the time. And when he was ever going through a scoring slump or was having trouble finding the net, he would put pucks all in the around the faceoff dot, and he would shoot all these pucks, but he would never lift his head up. He would always keep his head down and just instinctively know where the net was, because lots of times when you're that close in, you don't have time to lift your head up and find the spot that you want to shoot. But with keeping your head down and just shooting it as hard as you can, you instinctively know where the net is. And when you continue to develop that, you start changing the angle a little bit, so you know you're hitting your target, your bottom corner, you're above the block or below the or above the pad type thing. So, and that's something that I still do today. When, you know, even when things are going well or if they're not, I love going out before practice and dumping the pucks out and just burying my head and shooting the pucks as hard as I can. And of course, some miss the net and this and that, but you always know the ones that hit the target, hit your spot. You can hear that the net,
it's that kinda, sound.
Yeah, that sound. And you know, it's again, like we talked about earlier, it's about honing your craft and sharpening the skills that got you there that are going to keep you there. So yeah, it's one of those things that you know you just enjoy working on, and it's fun to go out and do, and it makes you feel like a little kid again skating around on a rink, and you know, there's no pressure or anything, but instinctively you're finding ways to score goals, and you know, that's a part of my job.
You mentioned the sharpening part, and there's the saying that iron sharpens iron. And how much does it help in the development of, or has it helped in the development of your game to go against one of the very best goaltenders in the league day in, day out in practice with Sebastian Dam?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the funnest goalies I've ever shot on, because he brings his A game every practice, and he's dialed in every practice. So it forces you to be ready to go and ready to shoot. And I mean, it's not easy to score on him, but when you do, you know, it gives you a little confidence that you're scoring on one of the best goalies in the league. And, you know, I've been shooting on him for a long time now, and there's, you know, I wouldn't say I keep track of it, but when you get one past him, it's always a good feeling.
We tackled the part as regards how you put juice on your shot. We tackled the part how you're starting to get more accurate. And then there's the part where you really excel, especially on the power play, when it comes to deflecting shots. How do you get good at deflections?
You know what? That's another thing, that it's just practice and you know, being comfortable in front of the net when guys are taking shots at you. And I think honestly, that's the biggest thing nowadays is you know, it's almost like a lost art being the guy in front of the net. You look at a guy like, you know, Thomas Raffle. He's made a heck of a career about being that guy in front of the net where he's tough to move. He's good at tipping shots. He's good at, you know, getting in there and, you know, it's a dirty area. It's a hard area to play. You get whacked and you get slashed, but you know, you got to go to the hard areas to score goals. And you know, even when you're looking for a goal or you know, you're in a slump or something like that, most times the goal that breaks you out of it is you're going to the net and it goes off your shin pad or it goes off your pants or it's a tip or something like that. And I've always prided myself on going to those areas and being a big body there and being a presence there and kind of getting in those dirty areas. So, but you know, as for tipping pucks itself, it's just something that you practice. It's something that, you know, you go out before practice and you get guys to take shots from different angles and like seeing how the puck comes off and seeing where you can tip the puck and you know, that for sure is something, or it's a skill that can always get better every day. And, you know, lots of times the hardest part even isn't tipping the puck. It's just getting to the net, because the defensemen are so good nowadays that it's just hard to get there. It's hard to stay there because they're trying to push you out. And, you know, and then when you get there, you got to stay there and you got to, you know, you're going to get hit by some pucks. You're going to get slashed. You're going to, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, if whether you tip it or you're a screen, it and the puck goes in, then it feels just as good.
Got two questions on that regard or that area of your play. I was always wondering about the fact not only how you get good at deflections, and I've been to many practices, and mm-hmm. especially at the tail end, you can always tell who's really invested in his craft, and, mm-hmm. and those players sticking around after practice, still doing deflections and other drills. How do you create chemistry with the guys providing you with the wristers and sometimes even the slap shots? How does that develop?
Yeah, you know, I always try to take the guy, you know, I always like going with the guy that is on the point on the power play. Just because most times he's the big shooter on the power play, and those are the ones that you really you want to make sure that you're in front of the net for, and creating a screen or creating chaos down there. But you know what? It's something that, you know, you grab one of the younger guys and you say, hey, this is what I do. This is what works for me. This is how, if a shot's coming from this way, this is where I position myself. It's this side. This is how I position myself. And, you know, it's a craft in itself. And for the guy shooting the puck, I mean, that's also a skill, because you can't have, you obviously can't high stick the puck, and you want it 2 or 3 feet off the ice so you can get a good look on it. And so it's just something that, you know, everyone has to do their job in order for that to work. And when it does work, it's beautiful. And it's a great feeling when you get a nice tip, or you know, you're in the way and the puck goes in. And so, you know, it's just something that's an everyday skill that you need to work on.
Now, when it comes to the dirty area that you're working maybe more than other forwards in the league do, who's the one guy who really gives you a hard time? Just to give listeners out there an impression of which defenseman is really tough in that area. Who would that be in the league?
Yeah, you know, I would like to say that I'm tougher than all of them, but I know that that's not true. You know, a guy like Dennis Robertson on Red Bull, Lewington on Red Bull, and I say that just because we had a grueling series with them last year in the finals, and I know how hard it was for myself, and so you know, those guys would be up there. They're tough. They're mean in front of the net there. But you know what? We got lots of guys on our team that do the same. And you know, it's all about creating a presence there. And obviously their job is to get you out of there. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I talked to some of those guys a little bit after that, and we both said how hard it was to be in front of the net, because if he wasn't slashing me, I was slashing him, and vice versa. So it's just all about battling for position and trying to get the upper hand on each other. And the other part of it that I absolutely love is it creates a little competition within the game. It creates that, you know, that mentality of, you know, kind of like, F you, I'm, this is my spot. I want to be better than you here. And this is, you know, you're going to have to take me out of here. And that competition is really what drives me. You know, when I line up against them, that I want to be better than him, because I know he's thinking the same thing. And when you have that internal competition with another guy inside of the game, it just makes it that much more fun. It gives you, you know, something a little bit more to play for, a little bit more, you know, intensity when you get to that spot.
And if people are just taking away one thing from this conversation, just watch the battles in front of the net a little closer next time around. Don't watch the puck. Watch what happens in front of the net, because that's where usually the good stuff is indeed happening.
Yeah, exactly.
When I thought about having this conversation, I didn't really think that we'd spend 18 minutes just dissecting your shot and everything that makes you great as a player. As a matter of fact, I extended an invitation to a couple of fans on a fan forum to ask questions that I'd be able to ask you in their stead. And every time a Klagenfurt player comes onto the show, there's so much more interest in what what they're all about than with other teams. And
right.
It's just hockey in Klagenfurt feels different. You've been part of another Winter Day Ice Hockey League organization with Dornbirn, granted a smaller city, but still mm-hmm. in a hockey crazed state. But what to you makes Klagenfurt feel different than other parts of the world that you played hockey in?
Yeah. You know, that's such a good question. I don't even know really how to answer that other than, you know, I would say we're a team. The team is surrounded by the city. And what I mean by that is everywhere you go, people recognize you. People, for good or for worse, have an opinion on the game, have an opinion on a player, this or that. And they expect to win. That's always been the standard here. That's always been what makes this organization great. And at the same time, they care about you as a player and as a person. And I've never felt that more since having my daughter here. Just the amount of fans that have reached out and you know, said congratulations and this and that. And but, you know, there's a standard here. There's a standard that we expect of ourselves as a team, as an organization, and what the city expects. And there's been a long-standing tradition of winning in Klagenfurt. And when you have that history, that winning history behind it, that's what fans come to expect. And again, it's obviously, you know, it's hard to win in this league. It's hard to win every year and be successful every year. But I think as long as we're a team that is fighting and giving ourselves a chance every night, you know, regardless of the outcome, that's what the fans expect. And that's what the fans want to see is a team that never gives up, a team that is relentless in chasing a championship. And again, it doesn't happen every year, of course. But there's just a standard here that we expect of ourselves and this city expects of us that, and it's something where when you realize that, you don't want to let people down. And you do everything you can as a player and as a team to hold that standard and hold yourself accountable to it.
Granted, you've already mentioned a couple of reasons for you coming back again and again. And especially when you look at a league, like tenured import players are getting rarer and rarer. Just the other day, I had Mike Helmo on the show. He's heading into his sixth year with Bolzano. And right. Not many import players, I mean, many of them looking for greener pastures and going to mm-hmm. bigger leagues, as it is a stepstone league. But what made you come back four times now to Klagenfurt, heading into your fifth year?
Yeah. Well, I think just the organization. I mean, you look at this. I guess when you get older, when you're an older player, you realize that your window to win and to play in a kind of, you know, a historic organization, it gets smaller and smaller, and you have to take advantage of the opportunities that present itself. And I was lucky enough that it was during the COVID year, Klagenfurt had offered me a contract, and it was around Christmas time that I eventually wound up getting here. And I've, you know, I've been lucky enough to turn that into 4.5 years now. And it's a place that we love. My family loves being, you know, life away from the rink, obviously with the lake and everything that Klagenfurt has to offer away from the rink is exceptional. And then that just makes coming to the rink that much easier. And, you know, I've also said that, you know, what I just previously said, there's a standard here. There's a standard of winning. And there's a standard of coming to the rink every day, expecting to get better and bettering yourself. And I think as an older player, you know, you might see some guys just kind of want to ride off, and you know, they make their money and their team doesn't make playoffs, it's not a big deal. But for me, it was really important, and I felt like it made me a better player and keeps me young as well. When you come to the rink and you still have that expectation of winning, that expectation of getting better, and not only just yourself, everyone else in the dressing room, the coaches, the trainers, everyone has that expectation that we're going to have fun doing it, but it's going to be hard. And it's going to be a lot of work, and you got to put in the time. And I think that has kind of, I guess I would say, breathed a little bit of life in my career. Just as far as when you have that standard, it makes it fun coming to the rink, and it gives you a purpose coming to the rink. And when you don't have that purpose, it can be some long days and it can be a long season. So I have to say, coming to Klagenfurt has, it would be hard to go to another team that didn't have a standard of expecting to win every year.
When looking at your career, it's such an interesting trajectory because it's basically, or it can be separated in two parts, the North American one and the European one. You've seen great successes in Europe so far, but that European career almost wasn't going to happen. And I vividly remember back in the day talking to Dave McQueen after Dortmund had acquired you. And he told me a little bit about your medical history and that you mm-hmm. for a year and a half just didn't know what was wrong with your body. Yeah. And we've talked about this briefly before we started to hit the record button. It's a helmet sport and people just don't see or know about all the things that people had to go through. And right. just to get this kind of segment started, what exactly happened to you when you went to Rögle, and what exactly was haunting you and your body?
Yeah. You know, it was a crazy time in my life. It was my first experience coming to Europe. I just signed with Rögle and in the Swedish league. And about a week before I was scheduled to fly over, I kind of had some weird feeling in my body and I was stiff and sore and it wasn't normal. And I knew it didn't feel right. But at that time, you're just thinking, okay, get me on the plane, get me over there, and we'll figure it out when I, you know, just, yeah. So I eventually get over there and I went out for pregame skate for the first game of the season, the season opener. And I took one step on the ice and I just didn't feel right. Got off the ice, saw the trainers, and it took about probably 3 or 4 weeks to get a firm diagnosis. But they said, the doctors told me it was called reactive arthritis. So they thought that I got bit by something, almost like Lyme's disease or a tick or something like that. And it just so happened a month before I left, I was working on my uncle's farm and I was picking bales off the field. But all the bales underneath were moldy, they were wet. So they thought that I could have inhaled a mold spore or, you know, something like that. Long story short, I had the reaction in my body where all the major joints swelled up. So my knees, ankles, all the toes on my right feet or my right foot, my neck, elbows, they were all swollen. It was crazy. I couldn't move. Like it was really, really painful. So I was in Sweden for probably 3 months with, you know, kind of dealing with that. And at the time I didn't realize how serious it was because I kept saying to myself, okay, just get through this week and then it'll get better and then you can get back playing and everything will be good. But just a week turned into 2 weeks, turned into a month, turned into 3 months. And eventually I said, I have to go home and try to get this figured out. So I flew home, but two years prior to that, I was with the Edmonton Oilers, which is only an hour and a half from Red Deer, where I'm from. And I still had a good relationship with them and I knew all the doctors. And so I just texted them and I said, hey, I was wondering if I could come up and see you. This is kind of my situation. And And, you know, I'm forever grateful for them because, you know, had I not, it sounds bad, but had I not been an athlete, it would have taken me months to get in to see these doctors, these specialists and everything. And they kind of fast tracked me through So anyways, these doctors had diagnosed me with reactive arthritis. They said that I either got bit by something, inhaled something that just inflamed all these joints in my body. And I was put on like heavy, heavy medication. And I was on that for, still halfway through the season in Dornbirn. And it was about halfway through that season where I finally started to feel better, you know, feeling normal. And I was still playing. I played the whole season with Dornbirn, but I missed that whole season in Sweden. I think I played 4 games at the end of the year, just as the 13th forward. And I got a couple shifts here and there, but, yeah, it was a really wild experience. It was, you know, I'll never forget when I was in Sweden with the apartment I was in, you had to walk up the stairs to go to the bedroom. But in the middle of the night, if I had to pee, I would be in so much pain, I couldn't get down the stairs. So I had this might be too much information, but I just had a jug right by my bed to go pee because I physically couldn't get down the stairs. And, you know, it's, you look back at it and you think of how crazy of a time it is. It feels so long ago now. And, you know, I haven't had any reoccurring instances with that. But it made me, you know, it made me feel very fortunate for my health once I got things back in order. And just a wild experience. And, you know, I eventually did get back to Sweden and played a couple games, but it was, and you know, as your first year in Europe too, you're excited. It's a new challenge, a new experience. And then to have that happen and you're there by yourself. And it was a bit of a lonely time just because, you know, when you're here, you're focused solely on hockey, your world kind of revolves around it. And when you're dealing with this and you don't really know what's going on with your body, it was a challenging time, but I honestly think it was something that kind of helped me grow as a player, helped me grow as a person and realize, you know, we have some great days at the rink. We have some bad days, but, you know, ultimately you got to look after yourself. You got to look after your health. And that's the most important thing.
Now that 16, 17 year in Sweden, you're 26 years old. You're basically hitting your prime as a hockey player. You have this ailment and lots of players go through different ailments, but you just not knowing what's wrong with your body. And everybody has got different strategies of coping with disease and things that are wrong with you. How did you never kind of lose faith that you wouldn't get this or wouldn't turn the corner on this?
Yeah. You know, when you're in it and you have an injury like that, and it's different than having a broken bone or something, because you know, eventually that's going to heal. But when this happens, you know, I vividly remember thinking like, okay, next week we got 2 games. I'm going to be ready for those games. And then, you know, next week turns into 2 weeks turns. And when you don't know what's wrong and you're in a new country and you don't speak the language and you're by yourself, it's a little bit overwhelming and it's a little bit scary, to be honest with you. And when there's no end, when you don't know when the end point is going to be, it's a little bit frightening because you kind of wonder like, you know, is this going to be with me forever? Is this my hockey career? Whatever it is. And there's also the part of it too, where you kind of, as a hockey player, you kind of felt like you were letting your team down a little bit. Like you didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what was going on. You showed up there ready to start the season. And then all of a sudden you can't play and you kind of feel like you're kind of like the black sheep a little bit. But you know, I was lucky that I got some great help, some great, assistance from the doctors and they they were confident in their diagnosis. And that's all you can really do is trust that the people that are smarter than you know what they're talking about and know what they're doing. And it was, like I said, it was a wild experience. It was crazy. But it did teach me a lot about myself and, you know, there's some dark days, but it all gets better. And, you know, you have to have the right mentality and this and that. And, you know, I could say everything about it, but, you know, ultimately it was scary and it was a kind of a scary time for myself personally, but for my hockey career and, you know, my parents are wondering what's going on and this and that. And, but you put the trust in the people that have experience with it, that know what they're talking about. And you kind of do what you need to do to get yourself back to, you know, first and foremost, back to just feeling like a normal person and living day-to-day life. And then after that, you worry about the hockey part of it, but it just put lots of things in perspective for me. And it's something that I try not to forget to this day that, you know, I live a very blessed life. I get to play the funnest game in the world and go to the rink every day. But if you don't have your health and you don't look after yourself, then those days can get kind of dark. So
now you're having the year from hell in Sweden, not knowing what goes on next year. Gets you to Dornbirn, granted to a smaller league, but apparently you rediscover your hockey mojo. Was there ever a point where you thought, this is me again, I'm back?
Yeah, you know what? I'll forever be grateful for Dornbirn. Again, I kind of consider that my first European experience. Because going there, I didn't know what to expect. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know anything about the Austrian Hockey League. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. My agent just said, there's a team that's looking for you. And I had one friend on the team. His name was Dustin Sylvester.
Whom you played junior with.
Yeah. And him and his wife were there and we lived close to each other. So I spent a lot of time with him. And I'm forever grateful for him and Sam because they kind of took me in a little bit and showed me the ropes and everything. And but I'm very grateful for what Dornbirn did for me. They, you know, they knew my medical history and they still took a chance on me. And you know, and going to Dornbirn, where, again, no disrespect to them, but maybe there's different expectations of a successful season to them as compared to, you know, a Klagenfurt.
You're right on point. That's no disrespect.
Yeah. So it really, I was able to go in there and just play hockey and kind of have fun doing it and have fun going to the rink and just enjoying myself. And that was a huge turning point for me in my career, because had I gone to a place where I wasn't having fun, I wasn't enjoying myself, you know, that probably would have been it for my career after going through that. So, you know, I had just a great experience there. I just can't say enough good things about it.
So thanks to Dornbirn, we're getting to enjoy you or we're getting to see you for a 6 year in our league, granted that little stint in Germany.
Yeah.
But in those 6 years or in your 6 year that you're now heading into, you've seen it all. You've won a championship, you lost out on a championship in the finals, and I don't want to tear open all wounds again, but I'm always wondering if you're getting so close and game seven in the finals or in the Stanley Cup finals, it's as close as you can get to a championship. Yeah. How long did it take you personally to get over what happened in April this year?
That's a good question, Martin. You know what? The day has come and gone where I've stopped losing sleep over it, but it will forever be a pebble in my shoe. Again, it's no disrespect to Red Bull or anything. You know, we felt we had a very good year and it didn't end up the way we wanted it to, but it doesn't take away from the year that we had as a club, as a team. It was cool to see guys have great years, career years, and see, you know, players be become even better versions of themselves. And you know, it obviously didn't end as we would have liked. But I will probably say that will forever be a pebble in my shoe. I don't think about it anymore. And it's a new season. There's new challenges and everything. But, you know, when I'm done playing and you look back at your career and, you know, championships you've won and this and that, that one will be one where it's will still bug me. Yeah.
Promise. This is the last question that I'm going to ask you about that.
No problem.
That time of the year and then obviously game 7, but I was heading into, and I have to preface this a little bit, into the game, and I was like, doesn't matter who wins game 7, that team has deserved the championship and is a deserving champion of the Winter Day Ice Hockey League. And everybody on our staff, on our crew, and I'm sure a lot of fans, neutral ones too, were hoping for a great game, and then the game is just so lopsided. And Salzburg, like, it seemed every time you had a great scoring chance, Salzburg took it the other way and scored. And it was 3-0, 4-0. And we're heading into the third and we're going like, well, maybe Klagenfurt has an answer and a quick goal would help the cause. And it's 5-0. What's the point where you indeed lose faith on the bench and just go like, Jesus, this is, for whatever reason, not our day?
Yeah, you know, as a competitor, as a player that's been around, you don't lose faith until the game is actually over. You know, you always, as long as the game is going, you always feel like you have a chance to win it. And, you know, for whatever reason that day, we didn't have the juice. And, you know, that might be one of the most frustrating parts of it, because, you know, it was such a well-played series by both teams for 6 games and was fun to watch. And, you know, I had friends back home, family back home watching and, you know, and then to come out on game 7 and have that happen, it stings. And like I said, it will sting for a long time just because we didn't get the job done. But, you know, ultimately, sports sometimes don't work out the way that you want them to. And you know, it's just part of the journey. And unfortunately, we're on the losing side of it. But, you know, something that it did teach me and taught me, and it will kind of continue to teach me and bring that I try to bring to the rink every day, is that there's never going to be an easy day at the rink. There's always a day that you can work on something, get better at something, because you might find yourself in a situation where you got to dig deep. You got to pull something out that you haven't had to do before, but you know that you're ready to do it. So, you know, I feel like we played a very good playoffs. We played 6 great games. And then for one game, we didn't have our best. And that just happened to be game 7 of the championship. And so it kind of taught me to have the mentality, or showed me to have the mentality, that practice or game, in the gym, whatever it is, you have to be focused. You have to be dialed in. You have to be ready for whatever comes, adversity or good things, and just keep trucking forward. So that's the one thing that I take from it. And that's the one thing that, you know, you kind of have to bring into the new season with new players and stuff, is that every day matters, every day counts. And, you know, it's, we're very lucky to do what we do as hockey players, and you can't take it for granted.
Now, knowing you, I know it's all about team effort. I know it's all about winning a championship, but still, on an individual level, you enjoyed tremendous success last year. You tied your career high in goals in this league. And that was also a question that came from a user, just because of the fact that with Kirk Fury, with David Fisher, there was an infusion of offense that a lot of people and a lot of fans wanted to see. Klagenfurt just played looser. Was it indeed Was that indeed a reason for your increase in goals? Maybe not having the tactical constraints of Petri Matikainen's scheme anymore?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, just when Kirk and David came in, it was just a breath of fresh air. And I think a lot of people, when they first were hired, were, you know, probably looked at it as, you know, maybe they didn't have enough experience or this or that, or they've played with guys on the team. So they're, you know, they're whatever, you know, there was always some noise about it. But you know what, right from day one, both Kirk and David have been great, and they've come up with new ideas, fresh ideas, and a little bit too. They're that new school coaching, you know, they're teaching players, they're showing players the, you know, different ways to do it. It doesn't necessarily have to be black and white. But at the same time, they're still very demanding of us, and they're, you know, they know the standard, they're familiar, they've played here, they've been around here for a long time. They know the standard that we expect, that they expect, and the club expects. So, you know, playing for them, it was easy, just because of, you know, that fresh air that they brought to the room, that new kind of mentality, and you know, that young guys, old guys, everyone has a job to do, and we rely on each other and we care about each other. And they just had so many great ideas throughout the year that kept things fresh for us and kept us motivated and, you know, kind of brought us closer as a family and brought guys, you know, dragged guys in. So, you know, it honestly felt like after Christmas that dressing room really ran itself, which is a pretty special thing, because again, as an older player, you've played on lots of teams where, you know, you kind of know that you don't have a chance to win. But that early in the season where guys are coming together and guys are caring about each other to the point where the dressing room is basically running itself, everyone knows their job, knows their role. That's a special feeling. And it's something that as you get older, you realize doesn't happen very often.
Just to give people an idea, because sometimes that might be used as a cliche, like 99% of hockey teams would argue during the year, we're tight-knit, we're so close, we're like a family. But when you were talking about fresh ideas that they brought to the table, could you give us an example of one?
Yeah, you know, a big thing for Kirk and David was learning about players. I mean, obviously we have Austrians, we had Canadians, we had Americans, Slovenians, Danes, you know, people from all different parts of the world that have, you know, brought up differently, have different family values, different family ties, however it is. And one of the things that I loved is we did like, well, two things actually really stick out to me. We did a show and tell, basically. So a guy would bring something in that was special to him, that, you know, whatever it was that reminded him as a family or motivated him as a player or, you know, whatever it is. And you get to share a little story about this item that you brought in. And I thought that was so cool, because I haven't done anything like that since elementary school, since I was a kid, you know, show and tell days. But it was really, really, it was fascinating to hear, you know, about guys and their history about this item and what it means to them. And, you know, you see it in their stall and you're like, oh, it makes, you know, I understand why that's in there now and what that means to that guy. And like, you see the player in a different perspective other than just being a teammate and a player on the team. You see them more as an individual. And I truly think that brought us closer together as a group. And again, you view them as a person, not as a teammate. And I think that really brought us, you know, you get to know them on just such a deeper level. And I felt like that was really special for us as a group, getting to know people on a deeper level. And the other thing I really loved is we had a team barbecue, and we each player had to bring something, bring a food, like a potluck, had to bring a dish that was kind of from their home country. So I think we brought chicken wings and poutine, and you know, there was some, I can't remember exactly what it was, but each, there was a dish from each different kind of country and everything like that. And I thought that was really cool too. And, you know, people might look at that and laugh, but it's something that was so small, but both David and Kirk were so, you know, they're so good at bringing everyone together and making people feel important in their own ways.
But just to get this straight, poutine, isn't that a Quebecois thing, or is it something in Alberta too?
You know what? I was limited. It was either that, or I could have maybe called my dad to bring in a Alberta beef ribeye steak or something like that, but I didn't have the time to do that. But you know, it's just like those small little things that you know, maybe at the time you don't think makes a big difference, but as the year goes on and you're relying on each other in playoffs, and you know, the hard days at the rink, you see guys in a different perspective, and you see them, you know, not just as a teammate, as a colleague, or you know, someone that comes to the rink. You see them as, you know, on a deeper level, and you know, kind of the struggles that they've went through to get to where they are, or some of the joyous moments that got them where they are. And but I really think that it brought us closer as a team, and you know, really develop that chemistry for our club.
And the core of the team has remained together. The team has already gone through four games of the Champions Hockey League, two league games. You scored in both competitions, actually in your first Champions Hockey League game, in your second game of the Winter Day Ice Hockey League season yesterday on Sunday. We're recording this on a Monday. How important is it for you personally to just get that first one behind you, to not start the year on a scoring slump?
Yeah, you know, just to have that confidence, and you get one on the board, and then, you know, it's just about continuing to build. And I've always said, you know, obviously I want to be scoring goals, and that's part of my job. But I've always said, as long as I'm an impact player some way on the ice, then I'm doing my job. And whether that's blocking shots or being physical or getting to the net or, you know, being a screen in front, whatever it is, as long as I'm being an impact player on the ice, then I'm happy. I mean, goals, I've learned that goals kind of come in waves, and when it's not going your way, that when the pucks aren't going in, you have to make sure that every other part of your game is dialed in and is as best as it can be. Because it's just going to make you a better player, make you a more complete player. And then when goals do start going in, then your confidence just goes up a little more, keeps going. But you have to make sure that the other areas of your game aren't going down. And that's something that I learned from I was always told when I was a younger pro, like, don't worry about the goals, they'll come and go. But you have to make sure every other part of your game is dialed in.
Yesterday marked the return of the captain of Klagenfurt to the game. He missed Friday's season opener with an illness. So the big line was reunited again. You, Johannes Bischofberger, and obviously Thomas Hundertpfund. It's been one of the premier lines of the past year and recent memory. What makes you guys mix and mesh so well on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, those two guys, they're just so fun to play with. I mean, Bisho, obviously, with his speed, he's the fastest guy in the league, makes plays at high speeds, skilled with the puck, great shot. I have to say, Bisho had a great year last year. But for me, it was so cool to see him come back from an injury, a serious injury, where you know, he didn't know if he was going to be playing again, and just to see him happy at the rink and enjoying himself. And the cherry on top was that he had a great year. And, but he's just an unbelievable guy to play with, cause he, you know, he can find pucks, he gets pucks, he makes plays. And with Hundi, you know, me and him are the two slower guys on the line. Hundi, he's so strong on the puck. He rarely loses a battle. He's so good at keeping the puck on a stick, keeping the puck in his area. And then for me, I always joke that I have the easiest job, is because I just have to get open and create space for those guys, create space for Bichaud to make his plays and get his speed going. And then for Hundi, we just kind of work off each other. And Hundi's vision with the puck is so incredible that I just need a little bit of space and he'll find me. And the same thing with Bichaud. So it's just, you know, we work well with each other. I think we developed that last year, and this year, I mean, it's a whole new year. So you have to dive back into it and get back into things and kind of rebuild it up again. But yeah, just playing with those two guys, they've obviously have a lot of experience. They're great players and they're great people. And you know, when you're able to be on a line like that, you want to do everything you can to stay on a line like that.
Speaking of, it's a whole new year. I got an interesting observation and in that regard, also a question. Someone who observed you closely at the start of the year said, or wrote in saying, it appears that you're quicker, that you're more dynamic on the ice. And he was wondering if you were working on your skating or changed anything in terms of your summer workouts to get ready for the year.
Yeah. You know, as far as, I didn't change a lot, but I think as you get older, the first thing that people start to notice or that you notice is that you can't keep up. So for me, all of my workouts are based on speed and based on power, just moving things as fast as I can, as quick as I can. And, you know, I think as you get just naturally, you can't fight Father Time, but in order to stay playing professional hockey, you have to make sure that you keep your speed up. And as far as, you know, all my workouts are based on speed, based on power. I don't do a lot of heavy lifting anymore. It's just moving things as fast as I can, as quick as I can, and lots of jumping and lateral jumps and stuff like that. And the other thing I do is yoga. I do yoga probably 4 times a week. Because again, as you get older, injuries are a little bit, you know, harder to avoid, and recovery is essential. So doing yoga for me has been part of my life for a long time, you know, probably since that injury in Sweden. But it's just something that I think is so good for your body and so good for your mind as well, just to kind of shut off for an hour and work on a few things and keep yourself mobile and keep yourself, keep your muscles moving the way that they should be.
Obviously a lot of games happening in a short time frame. There's an away trip to Linz tomorrow. There's another huge away game in Fehava on Friday. And then there's the Derby on Sunday looming. At what point do you start looking forward to a Derby game? Is it already that time of the week to be looking forward to Sunday, or are you someone who tackles it one by one and takes it game by game?
You know what? I think you always have those games circled on your calendar. You know, those games always have a little bit more, zest, a little bit more juice to them. So yeah, you always know when that's coming, but you know, for us, just getting the season started, getting the season underway, it is important. And it's so cliche to say, but it is important just to take it one game at a time, because there's, at the start of the season, there's always lots of things to work on. There's always lots of things that need to get better. And if you start looking too far ahead of, you know, what's coming, then you're going to get lost. But you know, those Derby games, there's nothing better. And there's nothing better when, we're playing in Villach and the fans are booing us. And I'm sure they would say the same thing when they come to Klagenfurt. So it's, that's always, you know, it's a special game for sure. But we just try not to look too far ahead or else we'll kind of get lost in the mix of it.
So one question on the personnel side of this, what's it going to be seeing Thomas Vallant in a different uniform, your longtime teammate now on the other side of the derby game?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it'll be, you know, it was no different than seeing Nicky Kraus the other night. And those guys, you know, they meant a lot to our team when they were here. But, you know, it's part of the business. It's part of the business that we're in. And you know, I've been on the other side of it where you're on a new team. And there's always a little bit of, I'm sure he wants to stick it to us and a little bit of added juice for him. But, you know, ultimately it comes down to us against them. And you just put those feelings aside and carry on.
We're still very early in the year and there's not much merit to it to really talk deeply about strengths and weaknesses, but just in one regard, if you're looking at the team that Klagenfurt is having right now, and obviously still some injuries and people wanting to get back, and just at the team that you had last year, in what regard is this team going to be different? In what area will this team surprise people when compared to the team of last year?
Yeah, you know, like you said, it's still early, so it's tough to say. Guys are still kind of finding their way a little bit. And you know, we're finding out as a team what's going to work for us and what isn't. I mean, I don't even know if I can really comment on that yet, but what I can say is we love the guys that we've brought in. I know they're excited to be here. I think the challenge for any team at the start of the season is just getting everyone on the same page and getting everyone playing the same way. And I think, again, like we talked about earlier, there's a certain standard in Klagenfurt that, you know, when you've been here for a while, you know what that is and you know what to expect. And when you're a new player here, and I went through the same thing when I came here, you have to adjust. You have to realize that this is a special place to play. You need to have everyone on board, and from, you know, the coaches doing their things to the players, it's just bringing everyone together at the same time. And the one thing we always preach in Klagenfurt is we want you to be different, but we want you to work for the team. And there's, you know, 25 different personalities on this team. But if that's what makes us special, but we want everyone pulling in the same direction. And that's just the standard that we have here. And that's the standard that will always be here.
Granted, the sample size is still pretty small, but I need to ask you one last question about a teammate of yours. How is it watching what Matthias Fromm is doing on the ice? I mean, on Friday, a lot of people on national TV got their first exposure to what he's all about. Yeah. I was amazed. He blew my mind. How was it for you?
Yeah, you know what? It was just a game where you sit back and you just watch him go. Watching him pick the puck up and you know, you just kind of get out of his way a little bit and let him do his thing. He was feeling it, and it was great to see him get a couple goals. And I think as a new player in a new organization, you couldn't ask for a better way to start the season. And a funny story about Frommer. When I was in Sweden and I was sick and I wasn't obviously playing, he was, I think, 19 or 20 years old as the, you know, kind of the 13th forward in Rögle. So me and him he was in and out of the lineup. So me and him actually spent a lot of time together just hanging out because he wasn't playing and I wasn't playing. So that's actually where Frommer and I first met each other and kind of developed a friendship. And for 6 years, you know, we followed each other on Instagram, but you kind of like observe from far of what he's doing, where he's playing and this and that. And then all of a sudden I hear he signed with Kotze in the summer. And I'm like, well, I know this guy. He was just a kid when I met him. And then you see him now and he's this tall guy and, you know, he's turned into a man. And so that for me was a cool moment to see him. And then, you know, you just couldn't be happy for a new player coming in and having the start that he did and you know, kind of electrifying that rink a little bit. And you know, then you see him the next day and he's just a goofy guy and just enjoys coming to the rink and he has fun with it. So, you know, he'll be a really good player for us. And it'll be exciting to kind of watch him grow and develop into, you know, an even better player.
Interesting week of hockey ahead for Mathias Fromm, for you guys in the locker room. This was great. Thank you so much for doing this. Really enjoyed this one. And hopefully you'll be back on the show very soon again.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Martin. Thank you very much for having me.
Win today, hockey. Oh, God.
Kurz durchatmen bei diesem Wahnsinn. Und das ging rasend schnell. Der Traum vom Finale ist erfüllt.
Mittendrin statt nur dabei. Fans, stimmungsvoll und hoffnungsfroh.
Nice move, another nice move. Oh, he scored! Oh, what a goal! It doesn't get...